Hey, good morning, Ford Alliance, Ford Sask, our extended digital family. We are just so glad we could be together like this and to join one another and just hearing from God, learning from His Word. As we get started, I just want to say a few things that really kind of weave so perfectly into our text as we get going. It's been a heavy week for those of us who are a part of the Fort Sask division, if you will, of Ford Alliance. And so I want to speak in such a way as we begin that those of you who are directly a part of our fellowship in Fort Saskatchewan will know exactly what I'm talking about. But for those of you who are part of our extended digital family, this might seem a little bit unknown. You might not be aware of some of what we're facing. And so I just wanted to speak to you, our digital audience, real quick at the beginning. First, when we moved into this this new reality of recording messages and bringing them out to you, very early on, it was a strategic decision for me to welcome you, our extended digital family, because I've learned that there's those of you who are really all over Canada, and have even heard some in other countries that are catching this because of different circumstances and what have you, and you are a part of the Ford Alliance Fellowship. You're just in a different division or a different unit, if you will. And I've used this phrase so often that this week there was a shift in one of my boys' prayers. He often prays thanking God for his cousins, and he names them all. I think it's a way to stay up later, but who knows? And then he'll pray for grandma and grandpas, and he'll pray for his school and some of his classmates, and he'll pray for his church, and he'll talk about this gathering here. But this week, and I'm not making this up, literally this week, as part of his prayers, he began and included praying for and thanking God for his extended digital family. So if you are part of the Ford Alliance family that's in a different location, you're getting prayed for by a 10-year-old here in Fort Saskatchewan now. And so you are a part of our fellowship. If you're watching this maybe from a hospital or from home because you're isolated or wherever, you are a part of this fellowship. And so although you don't feel like you might not fully understand how I'm starting, we just want you to know that we care about where you're at and what you're facing today as well. But that said, it's been a heavy week, and as Pastor Dan has already prayed even, here in Fort Sask, Fort Alliance, we lost one of our dear brothers, and one of our dear brothers who went really, as we might say in earthly terms, far too young. And it was quick, and it really caught us off. And yet that said, as I met with Rob this week, I went in to visit him at the hospital, and as I was there with him, his eyes were still full of life. And one of the things I admire so much about him is how just gentle and humble and really like stoic he is. But I got like fiery Rob. I got full-blown sermons. It was awesome. And he was with all the life and all the fire in his belly that he could. He spoke to me of how he really hoped and prayed and believed he was still going to walk out of that hospital. And yet, he said, "Pastor, I don't fear for a moment because this world is not my home. I don't want that to settle in for you this morning wherever you're at. This world is not your home. And that whatever we face this side of heaven, fear is not to be what defines or holds us back as believers," right? The passage we speak to is going to get to that, but we kind of actually covered some of it last weekend. A number of you were a part of a smaller group of us that took in the Holy Spirit encounter. And then anyone who was a part of our fellowship at all on Sunday took in our final session, and so you kind of heard some of this in there. But in the midst of the Holy Spirit encounter, said, if we were to take out like our driver's license and look at it and say, this is my address, the reality is that is not our permanent address. Our permanent address for us who know Jesus is in heaven. It's home. And yet, interestingly enough, as we're going to see in Ephesians today, our eternal home, our permanent address, is a place that we actually have access to even now. And this really ought to shape us and mold us, particularly as we come to God, as we pray to God. And I hope that this morning's passage will bless you as you consider that this world is not our home and that we actually have access to this eternal home even now. So we're going to continue on in Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. So I want to just invite you to take this in with me or turn there. I'll be jumping around a little bit. So actually, if you're at home and you've got a Bible right beside you, it's a perfect time to grab it because I will move us around throughout the book a couple times here this morning. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 reads like this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ. So chapter 2 starts off like this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. Now this is maybe a bit of an oxymoron, but this is the understanding we have from Scripture. That before we know Jesus, before we've experienced his forgiveness, His freedom, His healing, His wholeness, the grace that He's poured out at the cross, the reality is that we are dead in our sin. So the oxymoron is you could say that we are dead men walking, or that we are living corpses, if you will. And it's clear that this is the case because of our disobedience and our many sins. I mean, sins is could be defined as missing the mark or falling short of God's standards. Another way that I read it this week that I thought was really kind of just convicting for me anyway was this: that sin is the death of the soul. Something about that that hit me. So you were once dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And then it goes on, you used to live in sin. Now this fascinated me. Because this word here, you used to live, could actually be translated another way. And guess what the word is that it could be translated as and actually would be better translated as? Walk. Y'all know how fascinated I've been with the word walking within the last year. You used to walk in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen. Whew. Here's the thing about why I love walking so much, because walking could be incredibly empowering when done with God. Incredibly empowering. And yet, walking, likewise, can be incredibly destructive when following our own path. You probably have heard the example, the illustration of being like 1 degree off of something, right? And heading in a direction, how far you end up. So I just wanted to look up a couple examples of being 1 degree off. And here's what I learned. If you were going to go 100 yards, I was bantering with some of the folks who are here with me about the Super Bowl this weekend. 100 yards, a football field, an American football field, that is, if you're going to get technical. By the way, it's the GOAT, Tom Brady, and some folks here don't really like Tom. But when you win, you're the best. That's just the way it is. But versus the young up-and-coming legend who I think may overtake him. It's a fascinating matchup. I love it. Side totally off. That was random. Anyways, that's not in my notes. I'll continue. I'll follow the plan. 100 yards. If you were off 1 degree and traveling 100 yards, 5.2 feet. Not a huge miss mark, but a missed mark and noticeable. If you were to go a mile and you were started off 1 degree off, you'd be 92 feet off at the end. If you were traveling via airplane from San Francisco to LA, you'd be off by 6 miles. If you were going from San Francisco to Washington, you would flat out miss Baltimore and be 42.6 miles away. If you were going in a rocket to the moon and you were 1 degree off, you'd be 4,169 miles off the mark. If you're going to the sun, you'd miss by over 1.6 million miles. 1 degree. Makes a huge difference when you walk and you walk in a way that you're not supposed to. Here's the thing. I'll be real clear. The commander of the unseen realm, aka the devil, Satan, Lucifer, him and all his minions, whatever term you want to use, he is more than willing and does meddle directly in human affairs, both for the unbeliever and the believer, just to be clear. But he is also quite willing to leverage our lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life to just get us off 1 degree. Because 1 degree wreaks havoc on our walk. Which brings us to verse 4. And verse 4 starts off, but God. Like, I've told you guys how much I love the two words, but God. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is not only by God's grace, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. But God, I mean, we've said this so many times, and we're going to keep saying it because it matters. You were created to walk with God. The good book, it starts that way, it ends that way, with us walking with God. And it was never that God left us, it was that we walked away following our own sinful path, just like Ephesians 2 says. That addictive tendency, that lustful thoughts and thinking, those evil ways, we walked away. But God, in all of his mercy, loved us so much that he gave and sent Jesus. And Jesus gave his life for us so we could experience what it means to be forgiven, freed, healed, made whole. And this is what God wants for you to come back into relationship with him. And wherever you are, this comes by faith. It's an act of grace, as we just read. And by simply coming to God and saying, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, my life is yours. We begin this journey with God where we come back into relationship. Oh, we're not perfected in the sense of day by day. We're still going to struggle, but we are perfected in heaven. God looks at us and sees Jesus, and he brings us into perfect fellowship with him, which we're going to get to in a moment. It starts by you just coming to him and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. Text goes on. This is one of my favorites. I'm going to say that probably every week, but this is really, honestly, it's one of my favorites in Ephesians, okay? For God raised us from the dead along with Christ. And he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of that incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. I mean, we've already established the first three chapters of Ephesians. The main theme is that we are in Christ. We are united with Christ. And just in this translation, in this verse alone, four times, with Christ, we are united with Christ. We are united with Christ. I mean, again and again and again, we see with Christ, united in him. There is something that happens when we come to faith in Jesus, where we are united with him, we are made right with God, we are now walking with him. And this is the main theme, but there's a sub-theme that's taking place here in Ephesians that's fascinating for us. We touched on it in the Holy Spirit Encounter Weekend. We touched on it last Sunday, but I just want to bring this out as best I can because this is massive for you and for me. For he raised us from the dead. Scripture teaches that we are crucified with Christ. So Christ is our crucifixion. That we are buried with Christ. So Christ is made our burial. That we are resurrected with Christ, just like it says here. So we are raised with Christ. But just as Christ then would go and ascend into heaven, we are also ascended with Christ. Christ is our ascension. And see, with Christ, we are seated seated us with him in the heavenly realm. So knowing that we are united with Christ, which is the main theme, there's a sub-theme that's taking place in Ephesians that speaks of the heavenly realms. Remember how we started? This world is not my home. Even now. Physically, I'm standing here. There's folks sitting here, masked and distanced, by the way, just to be clear. But they are here. Physically, we are here. Physically, you are wherever you're at right now. But spiritually speaking, because of our unity with Christ, because we are with Christ, our spirit is with the spirit in the heavenly realms. Hebrews words it like this, that we have access to the throne room of grace. This world is not my home, and we have access to that eternal home right now because of Jesus. And this is a sub-theme throughout Ephesians, the heavenly realms. If you got your Bibles open, go with me to chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. First time that phrase is used in the book of Ephesians, right here. That Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. This home, this throne room that we have access to through Jesus, we have received blessing and have favor from God because of who we are and where we are, because we are with him in the heavenlies, if you will. Ephesians keeps going. Fast forward, if you will, to chapter 1, verse 20. I'm going to read the last bit of the sentence of 19, okay? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So we see right here really clearly that Jesus is literally seated in the heavenly realms at God's right hand. He's in the throne room. He's fully there. In fact, if you were to read in Scripture, Romans 8 talks about how Jesus is even interceding on our behalf with the Spirit on our behalf in this throne room of grace. Jesus is here in the heavenly realms. He is present there. Which brings us to where we are right now in 2 verse 6. That for he, God, raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm. We are no longer dead men walking or living corpses. We are made alive, fully alive, spiritually alive. There's a reason I can go into that hospital room with Brother Rob and I can see life in his eyes, even though hours later he was going to go fully into heaven. because he is alive in Christ. And he understood what it meant to be fully alive, even here on earth, in him. And you and I are raised to life because of Jesus. And because we are with him, because we're united to him, God has also seated us right now in the heavenly realms. We're here in this building. We're sitting. I'm standing. But spiritually speaking, my spirit, your spirit, your spirit, if you know Jesus, is in the throne room of grace. Think about that. Access to our eternal home even now. That's not the last time it's used, though. It's also used in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Well, this is another one of my favorites. There we go. I found another one. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. This is wild to me. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. That's you and me. I'm not going to preach that sermon because that one's coming up down the road. Don't worry. But to use the church to display his wisdom. He's going to use the church, us, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities. I don't have time to unpack that. I'll do that when I get there, but we're talking about the demons. He's going to use the church to reveal his wisdom to all the demonic forces in the heavenly realms. This is getting even bigger. This side of heaven, we have access to the heavenly places, to the heavenly realms. And God's going to use us as we learn to access our eternal home even now. There's one more example I'm not going to go into. Now I'm going to save it for when I really get there. But it's found in Ephesians 6, verse 12. I'll read it just so you know what's there. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Here's what we need to know. Here's what we need to take away. Here's what we got to understand. First and foremost, Ephesians 1 to 3 makes it more clear than we could ever make it that we are united with Christ. It's all the way through with Christ. You and me with Christ, united with Christ. Because of this, we have access to the throne room of grace. This world is not our home, and we can step into, we are in that eternal place even now. Our spirits have access to the heavenly places even now because we are with Christ. You and I, through Jesus, have the opportunity to come to God, to pray to God, to seek his face, to seek his heart from our eternal dwelling place even now. This world is not our home. And oh, how this ought to shift our day-by-day life even now as we access the heavenly realm. And so I want to wrap up by inviting you to pray. Now just join with me in prayer as we recognize our position in Christ, that we have access to the throne room of grace, that we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Would you bow with me? Holy Papa in heaven, in this moment, whether in this building, at home, from a hospital, wherever we find ourselves watching this, we humbly bow before you and before your throne of grace. We picture ourselves before you, just prostrate, saying, holy, 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 to the one who was and is to come. We worship you and you alone, O God. Take a moment, wherever you are right now, just offer up in your heart a prayer of worship. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have given us access that we can come right before you, the one true living God, that we are present with you even now in the heavenly realms. And we confess that all too often we strive to live in our own strength, following our own patterns, walking our own way. And we are sorry. May we understand more of what it means to walk with you, to know you, to be intimate with you, to experience fresh filling of Holy Spirit power, to walk as women, as men, who are on mission for you. Wherever you're at, in your heart, find yourself just confessing who you really are to the one true living God. It's a safe place to do so. You and God right now. God Almighty, in this space we just come and we pray and we lift up our church family, our community, our region, our country. For those in our family who are hurting, who are struggling today, we just put them before you. And we thank you that you've told us you are merciful, and we just ask for more mercy and an experience of your love in their life. In our community, God, we ask for an awakening unto you. In the communities that we're a part of, wherever we're watching, we pray for an awakening, for people to recognize their need for you, the one true living God. In our province, in our country, oh God, would you lead and guide? We desperately need more of you. Wherever you're at, go ahead. Ask of God from the throne room of grace what's in your heart right now. Holy Papa, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. The Almighty, one true living God. May our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength be of yours this week, wherever you have us on mission for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You've got access. My challenge for you is this week, why not take the beginning of every day and picture yourself where you really are, present in the throne room of God, in the spiritual realms, humbly bow before him and pray from that position. This week, each day, start your day praying from the position of your eternal home. You have access to the throne room of grace because you are united with Jesus. Start like that. I hope you do. I believe it will change how you pray. Love you all. God bless. I pray you have a great week.